Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for August 6th, 2023 is based on Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Realizing Miracles. An introduction to our second reading. After John the Baptist is murdered, Jesus desires a time of solitude. Still, his compassion for others will not allow him to dismiss those who need him, and he is moved to perform one of his greatest miracles. A reading from Matthew. Now, when Jesus had heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets in full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the multiplier of all good things. Amen. Now, there's something kind of special about the miracle we hear about today in Matthew. Does anyone know what makes this particular miracle special in the New Testament? It's the only miracle that appears in all 4 of the Gospels. So if you read through the Gospels, you're going to read about all these different miracles. Some overlap, but this is the only miracle, other than the resurrection, that appears in all 4 of the Gospels. And each of these 4 Gospel writers must be thinking that there is something very important about this particular miracle in order for them to make sure it was included in their writings. And preachers have mined this particular miracle for countless sermons. My guess is that if you've been around the Christian church for a while, you may have heard a lot of different sermons focusing on different parts of this reading. You may have heard sermons about the importance of taking time to grieve as Jesus grieves the loss of his cousin John. You may have heard sermons talking about the negative effect that a scarcity mindset can have, thinking you don't have enough, kind of like the disciples' thoughts about the food. You might have heard sermons about the positive effect that an abundance mindset can have when you believe that there will be enough, and like Jesus, put that into action. You may have heard sermons about showing compassion to people and helping them with their physical needs, like Jesus did in the healing and then again in the feeding. And I'm sure you've probably heard many other sermons touching on many different points of this miracle, which is only a short 7 verses long. Now, by Tuesday of this week, I had all of these different sermons floating around in my head from all the ones that I've heard over the years, and I was kind of leaning towards a sermon on abundance, but I wasn't really sure why. Maybe partly it was because our church council was reading a book on abundance, but I wasn't feeling super great about the sermon, and That was all I had at that point of the week. It felt like I was rehashing something, and I didn't feel really kind of deeply connected to it at all. But at our Wednesday morning Bible study here at church, I had an epiphany about this text when I least expected it. Let me give you some background about our Wednesday morning Bible study. On Wednesday mornings here at the church from 10:30 to noon, there is a terrific Bible study that happens as we look at the readings for the upcoming Sunday. There are typically four readings that are assigned, and we look over those readings and talk about them. There are usually about 8 to 10 participants. And by the time that we get our coffee and our water and we catch up with one another and we share our prayer requests and we talk about what we did during the past week, we really don't get to the Bible study portion until about 11. And we have four readings that we talk about, and sometimes our conversations take these wonderful little tangents into other topics and stories, which quickly eat away at our time together. But somehow, we almost always get through the four readings with seconds to spare before noon. And this past Wednesday was no different. Conversation was abundant. And so we had less than about 10 minutes at the end of our time together in order to read the Gospel of Matthew, to talk about it, and then to pray the Lord's Prayer at the end. Now, to be honest, I figured that by the time we read it, we really weren't going to have much time to really strike up any deep conversation about it. And just as I began to discount what might come out of those couple of minutes that we would have to discuss it, the Holy Spirit whopped me right between the eyes. Because I asked the same question that I do after every reading is read, and I asked the group, what sticks out to you from the reading? And I don't remember who exactly said it, but someone said something to the effect of, what sticks out to me is that all of the people there were part of the miracle. Wham! At that exact moment, a clarity of mind hit me, and I knew immediately what the sermon was going to be about. The Holy Spirit spoke through the words of someone else and provided me with something that I needed right in that moment. The person didn't know that their words were what I needed to hear, but they were sharing words that were meaningful to them in hopes that they would be meaningful to someone else. And in that moment, my realization came in the form of two questions. When does the miracle happen in this story? And when do we realize it's a miracle in the story? Because if we are reading this miracle story for the very first time, when does the miracle happen? Does it happen when Jesus blesses and breaks the bread? Is that when the miracle happens? Well, it doesn't say that thousands of pounds of bread instantly appeared at Jesus' feet, enough to feed the multitudes of crowds. Rather, Jesus gives the same amount of bread back to the disciples that they started off with and tells them to hand it to other people. Now, this is often called the miracle of the feeding of 5,000, but we hear that was just the men. And when you include women and children and others who may have been there, theologians think that it may have been upwards of 20 to 25,000 people that were being fed. And have you ever been in a crowd of 20 to 25,000 people? It's not easy to tell what's going on around you. It's hard to hear, it's hard to see, and I'm guessing that the assembled masses had very little clue of what was going on. My guess is that all they knew is that somebody was tapping them on the shoulder, handing them a piece of bread, saying, take off some for yourself and pass it along to the next person. And the next thing you know, everyone's eating. And only Jesus and the disciples and maybe of the few others that were nearby really caught on to what was happening. When do we realize that the miracle is taking place? We aren't even told in the story that the miracle is taking place until it's over. Jesus blesses the bread, breaks it, hands it to the disciples, tells them to hand it off to other people. And the next thing that Matthew tells us is that everyone had ate, all were filled, and there were more leftovers than the amount of bread that they started with. What the story made me realize is that there are miracles that are going on all around us that we may not even be aware of. And also, just like the crowds that were passing the bread, we may be part of someone else's miracle without realizing we are doing anything miraculous in the moment. God often uses ordinary things to do the extraordinary. God uses bread, a spirit of abundance, the act of sharing, and human beings to make this feeding of the thousands happen. And my guess is that some of the people left that evening without even realizing that they had been part of a miracle. Maybe at times we are so laser focused on trying to see the specific miracle that we want to happen for us that we miss the miracles that are going on all around us. Maybe we're so conditioned to think that miracles have to be this physics-defying event that we must see with our own eyes before we can believe it's real and call it a miracle. And then maybe we miss the fact that the miracle might be something larger than we can even perceive. And yet we may have played a small role in making it happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't claim to know all of the ins and outs of how miracles work, the who, what, when, where, why, and how of miracles, but I do believe that God, the force that multiplies good in the world, continues to use ordinary things like a Wednesday morning Bible study and a hot meal that you take to friends, a servant's heart, gifts of abundance, and each and every one of us to continue to do miraculous things in the world today. One of those miracles is the gift of forgiveness that we receive each Sunday at Christ's table. We first share that forgiveness with our neighbors in the passing of the peace, but then we come to Christ's table seeking and receiving the miracle of forgiveness for all the things that we do that put our own selfish desires before God. And so as we come today to experience this miracle that happens at Christ's table, let it empower us with the gift of grace. And then let us take that free gift, break off a piece, and share that grace and love with our neighbors and friends. And the next thing you know, God might be using each and every one of us in these small actions of love and grace to enact a miracle of love and peace in our community and around the world. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.